It's time to go down the road to the Breeders' Cup.
Well, and who better to do that with than trainer Ken McPeak, who will be making his way out there with a couple of top juveniles. Kenny, good morning, my friend.
Good morning.
Yeah, looking forward to talking about these horses, including a horse we just heard the call of moments ago, Rattle and Roll. How impressive was that win in the Breeders' Futurity?
Yeah, this horse has really come around really nice. We've been fortunate to be able to get him to the mile in the 16th races, and he was begging for more ground and had an eventful start in Saratoga, which is an unusual day. But this horse's last two starts have been monster.
Yeah, he's just continued to improve. What's the thing that's impressed you most about him so far?
You know, his turn of foot. For a big horse, he's extremely fast. And he's also a very intense horse to be around. When he sees another horse in front of him and he handles the adversity of the dirt in his face and such, and he really pins his ears back and he gets after when he goes. And it's been fun to watch. His maiden win was impressive, and this last one was even better.
He was sent off at 8-1 in the Breeders' Futurity, so there were people that did not believe in him. Did you expect him to run the way he did?
We really did. He's a horse that, we spent a lot of time trying to teach young horses to go the two turns, and he had already done it very well. I think he might have been the only horse in the race that had won it two turns already, and he needed a little bit of pace in front of him, and he got it, and Brian gave him a typical handy ride that he always does, and very proud of that day, especially for the Mackin family.
How do you teach a horse? What's the key to teaching them to be successful going two turns as a young horse like that?
Well, as some people know out there, I do not strike very high at first-time starters. Mm-hmm. And admittedly, it's because we take them back in a race. We try to let them break, settle, let them take some dirt in the face, and teach them to finish through the dirt. And what it does is it costs you your first-time out percentages. Horses, if you gun them away from there the first time out, that's all they learn. And then subsequently, later in their career, they can get one-dimensional on you. And I don't believe in that. I believe in that first race, they need to understand the surroundings and experience the adversity of a horse race, because we know if you're going to go to another level, a horse needs to be able to rate, needs to be able to understand splitting the hole, finishing fast. And I believe it's repetition, and we do a lot of that, teaching horses to, break, settle, wait, finish. And I think we get rewarded on horses like Rattle and Roll and some others over the years. And that first time out's not as big a deal as people think it is. It's not a strike rate that to me is important in the long run.
Well, and to that point, all of those things you just mentioned were on full display with Rattle and Roll's debut at Churchill in June, where he was far back early. He got off a bit slow, but then picked it up. He weaved through traffic and ended up finishing third. He came from 11th to third, and all of those things you just mentioned were on display in that 1/6-furlong race.
All we did was teach him how to run, and now he gets it. And yesterday we ran a filly that's interesting, Dunvegan Doll. She was way back early. And then she came in split horses, and she gets beat. I think she was sixth, got beat eight lengths, but galloped out several in front by the time they made the turn. So now she's ready for her next dance. And I love doing that. Like I said, it's there's a initial, that first start. And if you get one that wins first time out anyway with us, wow, you better tie on.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Saratoga debacle that was on August 26th when he bolted and was pulled up. I mean, it was just a nightmare. I'm sure you've gone back and watched that race a million times, Kenny. What went wrong?
Well, the only conclusion we could come to is he got hit in the eye. That evening and the next day, the horse's eye was half closed and it was draining. And I think something, whether it was a shoe full of sand thrown in his eye or a rock or something that really struck him, but he threw his head to the right, and I think Jose Ortiz thought that the horse was injured, so he did the right thing and just went ahead and pulled him up. We were kind of miffed because it looked like in that race until that moment he was going to win easy.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he would have. But, you know, these things happen, and you just have to take a deep breath and figure it out. And but that's the only thing we could come up with. He's never done anything before that or since that. So it's certainly, in our viewpoint, a complete toss and just one of those unfortunate racing incidents that doesn't go well. I got a little hate mail over that. Some guy sent me messages saying this and that, and I'm like, well, you don't actually realize what happened, do you? So we'll ignore this.
The perils of being a horse trainer.
Yeah.
You know, Kenny, if I didn't see the three letters MDN in front of the purse money in the past performances, I would have thought they were stakes races that this horse was running in. How great is it right now, if you're a horse owner, to be able to compete in maiden races that are $100,000 and $120,000?
Well, it's competitive. You know, you better come to gunfight with a machine gun. I mean, you better have a really good horse to go over there. You know, the Churchill Downs and even Keeneland Racing and now Turfway's purses are going up. And so the Kentucky circuit, and we're not a 5 or 6 horse field circuit either. You've got to do it against typically 12 and 12 really talented horse trainers and jockeys that are bringing quality stock to the races. So, you know, you better come with your A game.
Rattle and Roll is now a grade one winner, which means the world looking ahead to what could be stallion prospects for him. What do you do now, Kenny? He's obviously on top of his game. He's happy. What do you do between now and the Breeders' Cup with him?
Well, he just gets a couple of maintenance half miles, 5/8 mile breezes. You don't need to overtrain for these races. You just need to keep him on even keel. He gallops really strong himself anyway. And, he goes out there and he's got a huge long stride. He's got the fitness. Now it's just maintaining. So going back to how our progression of horses, the first start's typically good, second's better, third's best, and then you want to keep that even level for the next start too. And I think he's, you know, set right on it. He is going to be a horse that needs a little pace in front of him, but that's out of our hands.
Your grade two Bourbon Stakes winner, Tis the Bomb, has kind of had a similar progression where his debut effort was just kind of a teaching moment, and then he comes back, breaks his maiden by 14, takes the Kentucky Downs Juvenile, and then the grade two Bourbon. Tell me more about Tis the Bomb and what you're seeing from him.
Well, this horse could very easily have won the Breeders' Futurity himself. He's equally as talented on the dirt as he is on the turf, and I guess fortunately, I think everything plays out for a reason sometimes. I could have run him in the Futurity, and the owner, Phoenix, had another horse going into the Futurity that they had with Todd Pletcher. So I just opted over to the turf race because Brian Hernandez, I was going to have to decide which horse he rode. And so it works out really well that they were separated. Although, Tis the Bomb, I'm going to tell you, after the Breeders' Cup Juvenile turf, we'll probably move back over to the dirt for his three-year-old season.
Oh, wow. Well, that 14-length maiden win on the dirt at Ellis Park and the off-the-turfer certainly says that he can handle it.
Yeah, no problem whatsoever. I mean, he's a very, very talented horse and dirt, turf, he's very versatile and it's going to be fun, you know, fingers crossed everything goes well, but it's going to be a really fun spring going into, you know, Derby and Oaks and such. We've got some really live bullets.
You know, last week Neil Pessin was on the program, and he was talking about the process now that trainers have to go through shipping horses around the country with no Tex Sutton. It's all done through FedEx, and that creates some issues. Any concerns on your end, Kenny, with trying to get these horses out to Del Mar?
Well, yes, a little bit. I mean, the van ride to Indianapolis, we're going to have to prepare for that. And that really is the only difference. You know, I was glad to hear that they're flying directly into San Diego as opposed to Los Angeles. I know that we tried to logistically take a horse to Del Mar earlier in the year, and we were going to have to van, I can't remember, I believe it was Indianapolis, fly to Los Angeles, then van to San Diego, so it was going to be a pretty stressful trip, but they'll get it together. It sounds to me like that they're working it out, and they've got a full plane load going, and or actually a couple, and you know, these things are out of our hands, but it shouldn't be a big deal.
Going down the road to the Breeders' Cup with trainer Ken McPeak. Again, those two very talented juveniles looking to give Kenny his first Breeders' Cup win. And Ken, I have to tell you, when I say those words, they almost don't make sense. There's no way that Ken McPeak has not won a Breeders' Cup race yet with all the success you've had. But, man, you've been so close on so many occasions. Hopefully this is the year, my friend.
Well, I think I have probably the very best and worst Breeders' Cup record. I think I'm in the money more than anybody, but as a percentage, because we run second and third so many times and a few fourths. I think I have 15 or 16 seconds and thirds.
Yeah.
You know, those races we've done it with, in some cases, some modestly priced young horses. Tahana Rum was only 20 grand and She's a Devil Do. These are the early years. You know, Dream Empress was, I think, 60 or 70. And we had Rosalind, who was second. She was only 70. And, you know, look, if your horses run well, if you run second or third or better, it's usually a really good day. I mean, typically that's what, 200,000 to run third.
Yeah.
It's not like it's a bad weekend. So we don't put any energy into all that. We'll get ours when we get ours.
What was the most gut-wrenching runner-up or third-place finish that you can recall?
Probably Beautician. And Beautician made the lead at about the 16th pole, and Julian Le Perru was on Wayne Catalano's filly, and she snuck up inside of her and beat her right at the wire. And that was a kind of a dang it moment. I wanted to win that for Peter Callahan. And then I've had quite a few of them that were just so close, yet, you know, no cigar. But anytime, like I said, you're competitive in those, and all the better. It's a great day of racing, and they do a great job putting it on. And we've always come out of there with some checks to cash, and I guarantee we're going to do it again this year.
Yeah, I would say so. Two live chances for Ken McPeak. Tis the Bomb pointing for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, and then Rattle and Roll going for the Juvenile. Kenny, listen, man, I always appreciate the visit. It's always great to catch up with you, and you're always very gracious with your time. Good luck in the Breeders' Cup, and keep it rolling.
All right. Thanks for having me.